States. And I started to organize different chains of distributing Bibles in Romania. One of the men was not cautious enough and he was arrested with his fellows for Bibles in kitchen. He was questioned differently and finally he gave the name of the other man that was my ears on this one. That one was also arrested and finally they got to me and one more evening. So
they came and they started to go straight to my library and they started to take the books and to throw them on the floor. And I told them, guys, please don't step on those books. This is my food. I need these books for my work. Please don't step. And I started to take them and to pile them on top of that thing full with Bibles and Christian literature. And I was praying, Lord, you created people's eyes, you can make them blind as well. They didn't find anything. Yeah. See, when you start to let the Lord guide your life, you can become very resourceful. Anyway, I was arrested. They took five or six boxes with my books from the bookcase. They should take some. And some of my Bibles in different languages, including Greek and Hebrews. Anyway, and they arrested me. I was questioned, beaten, sentenced for 3 years in prison because I didn't give up names and people that they were. But after 1 year, Ceausescu gave me personal amnesty. The dictator Ceausescu, that was killed on Christmas Day 1989, gave me personal amnesty, and I could leave Romania 2 years later and come to the US. This is the reason that I'm here. Yeah, I went for my master's at Moody Bible Institute at the grad school, and for my PhD at University of Phoenix. And during this time, I started also a Christian university in Romania with the Brethren roots. That's one of the seven university Christian schools in the world at the university level, a Timotheus Bible Institute. My wife teaches English as a ministry tool, and I teach ecclesiology, pastoral theology, biblical counseling, and lately spiritual Christianity and postmodernism. This is my background. Okay. This course is one that I'm, what I'm teaching those days is part of my class on spiritual formation and biblical discipleship. I'm preparing for my master's program in Romania. So it is a lot of material. We cannot cover it. I know. It's part of life. But anyway, you'll have the things in your hands, and if you have questions, we can work with those questions, okay? Let's continue with our relational spirituality. The first was loving God, right? Completely. The second is loving ourselves correctly. We live in a world that emphasizes a lot self-love. And us, the Christians, unfortunately, we switch the pendulum on the other side. You don't have to love yourself. You have to hate yourself. I heard that. And that just made me feel bad. Why hate yourself? It's the Lord created you as you are, and you should celebrate who you are. Don't hate yourself, but you have to love yourself correctly. That means you have to see yourself as the Lord sees you. This is the right way to see yourself. We know from John 15 that apart from Christ, we have nothing and do nothing of eternal value. We know that. At the same time, that we become, when we accepted Christ as our personal savior, we became new creatures in him. We are different people. We're transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his light, life, and love, as Paul said. We have to understand that we are special. It's not, I'm not emphasizing this to make you feel, I don't know, great and to get your proud of it. No, you are and we are special. Special in God's eyes. He paid the biggest price in the universe for us. He invested in us. He transformed us. He helped us to be the men we are today. And this is wonderful. We should celebrate that. We know we have a new heredity in Christ, and our future is secure because of our new destiny as members of his body. We are not people that we are dying and will be annihilated. That's it. Nothing will happen. No. We will continue our short life here, living in eternity with our God and our Lord. And this is great. It's wonderful. But again, only when we see ourselves as God sees us, we love ourselves correctly. That means the Bible gives a lot of definitions for the children of God. You have them, there are a lot of them just put together like this, but here I just try to emphasize the way they, in John, for example, we have, we are children of God, a branch of the true vine, a friend of Jesus. In Romans, we have been justified and redeemed, crucified and with Christ, and not longer a slave to sin. I have been set free from, not condemned by God, set free from laws of sin and death, accepted by Christ. In 1 Corinthians, I have to be being called to be a saint. In Jesus, we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. See, all many others, you have a lot of these, those verses. I encourage you to take one by one and to read them prayerfully and to talk with the Lord about that. And you learn a lot about yourself. And you start to see yourself in the wonderful way the Lord created you. Don't hate yourself. Hate sin, but that should make you come closer to the Lord. The third love is loving others compassionately. We have to love people. People see, feel when we don't love them. Even if we have a smiling face or, I don't know, a very nice attitude, but if our heart is dark, or our heart is cold, people will see that, will feel that. We learn from Jesus that he was criticized, rejected, slandered, even killed by his family and friends, his disciples. Everybody hated Jesus. I lived in a country in communism. The communists hated Christians. I mean, they hated Christians. When they started to talk with us, they you could see their face turning dark and red and being angry. And how can you believe in God? God doesn't exist. And I asked one of them, and why are you so mad about it? What happened to you? He didn't know what to do. He was blocked. When I was 15, I had a crisis of faith. I told you my father helped me to come to the Lord when I was 7 years old. But when I was 15, the communist propaganda started to get me. The communist propaganda said that only stupid people and old ladies are believing in God. That was the main idea in the communist propaganda. And I looked in the mirror and I didn't see an old lady. I had very good grades and I was one of the top students in my school. And I declare God doesn't exist because I'm a smart guy. My parents, when they saw my attitude, didn't start fighting with me. I was going with my friends and trying to do the, you know, the teenager stuff because I was, God doesn't exist and I can do whatever I want. And every time when I came back home in the evening, I saw my parents on their knees praying for me. My father told me just one thing. You know what? You made a covenant with the Lord. You forgot about it. He didn't. I was 15. Okay, that was in the spring. I started that. In the fall, it was cold outside. It was November. It's, you know, it's like here in November when it rains and nothing to do. And I was in my home and I my room, and I said, okay, I don't have anything to do. I opened the Bible the first time after so many months. The one that used to read a lot from the Word of God. Anyway, I opened the Bible and the Lord just spoke to me. And I realized that I'm a sinner, that I need to renew my relationship with the Lord and to let Him work in my heart. That helped me so much, because from that moment on, my faith got stronger and stronger. Every time I was reading from the Word of God, I was learning about the love of the Lord and also His wonderful plan for me. That helped me a lot. Don't be afraid to have questions and to deal with them. The Lord that loves us so much, He is always there to answer to our questions. I encourage you to do this and to let the Spirit of the Lord deal with your concerns, your problems, your questions, and also with your needs, your desire to know Him and to come closer to Him. I was criticized. After that, I was criticized so much. And they said, oh, you a smart guy in our school. You are a Christian and you are doing this and that. Because the communists wanted to take us on Sundays to do activities. And I refused to do that. On Sunday, I was going to the assembly. I was going with my family to worship the Lord. And I told them, I'll never come on Sundays. Right? You have the other days of the week. In that time, we didn't study 5 days a week like we do today. It was 6 days, from Monday to Saturday. I learned a lot of things. But that was happened. But only Sundays were the free day for the students, and the communists tried to enslave us, keeping us all the time in that. I refused, and I was criticized, and I was because I had very good grades, they couldn't do a lot on that, but they could cut me from different rewards, and they stopped me going to different to represent the school on different levels in competitions or this stuff. That in the beginning bothered me, but on time, I realized that it's so important to stay strong in your faith, because people, the mockers, the people that mocked me. Actually, they started to respect me. And I saw that even when I was arrested. When I was arrested, I was set on the side of the cells with the most dangerous criminals. Because the guards said, okay, those guys will do a lot of bad things to this Christian. But they asked me, hey, why are you here? And I told them, I'm a Christian and I wanted to give Bibles to people. And man, what? And they brought you here? And when somebody tried to hurt me, those big guys, the most dangerous people in the block there, protected me. You cannot imagine that. But that is the way the Lord works. And it helps you to be strong and to continue to be strong. And they started to come to me and they started to ask me questions about different problems in their life and this kind of stuff. Yeah, Jesus suffered, and we suffered as Christians as well. But we don't have to stop loving people around us. I was praying for people that were tortured me when I was beaten up. And one of them said, hey, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm praying for you. What? I'm praying for you. They promised me that I'll never leave that room alive. And I said, Lord, I'm in your hands. If you want to take me, I'm yours. But please help these guys to know you. And help me to be a path to you. And they was praying for that. And they, I don't know what they said, right? What they saw. But they said, hey, what are you doing here? My friends, we have to continue loving people. Loving people in God's way is the only way to open the way of the door of salvation for them. If we don't love them enough, they will continue in their sins and in their problems. We have people that hurt us. It's true. But if we learn how to do it, showing the love of Christ, those people will stop hurting us. Just as Jesus knew who he was, where he had come from, and where he was going, so all of us should know the same. Our strength is not in ourselves. We have to realize that. We have weak bodies. Some of you are bigger guys. Okay. I'm talking about me. I'm a small guy. When I was arrested, I was maybe 110 pounds. I was like this. Right? If I wouldn't be careful, the wind could take me. I was really, really skinny. But doesn't matter, because you are strong in the Lord and he helps you to overcome different problems. But only as we renew our minds with the spiritual truth of the scripture, we'll move our thinking into alignment with the reality of who we are in Christ. We have to trust the word of God. It's reliable, it's the truth of God. Learn, take those passages. When you are home, take one of each of them, prayerfully, and start thinking about who you are in Christ. Because we have significance and identity only as children of God. Yeah? Loving people is a wonderful thing. Not because we have a big heart, but because we have an obedient heart. Not because we are very sensitive to the people's needs, but because the Lord made us sensible to the needs of people around us. It's a work of the Spirit. Let the Spirit of the Lord work in your hearts, and you'll enjoy being Christians. We deal with different types of people. For example, the very resourceful people. Those are mentors. They give the wisdom. If we ask them, you'll never find a mentor running after people to be mentored. Is the duty of you that want to be mentored to find a mentor. During my lifetime, I had 4 mentors. It's one on the spiritual realm, another one on the academic realm, another one on family environment, and another one and business environment, because I'm one of the guys that started that university in Romania. I had to deal with a lot of business things as well. But mainly because I wanted to grow spiritually and to have a life aligned with Christ. And I was chasing people to become my mentors. I was asking them, I told them, okay, sir, I need this and this and this and that, and you can help me in this area. Will you please take into consideration to meet with me once a month at your terms? just to meet with me and just want to tell you what is going on, and I need somebody to just to tell me back. You know how important that was? As those people became some of my best friends because they poured their heart into me, and I opened my heart to them. And I wanted to grow. And they saw that I was like a sponge. I was sucking in what the Lord gave me to them. Many of you are still in the age that you can look for mentors. Do that. Some of you are already mentors. Be available to people. It is a blessing. You know, we have example from Paul and Timothy. Paul became the mentor for Timothy and Titus, and he started to call Timothy his beloved son. The relationship grew from a mentee to one of the spiritual parent and the spiritual son. Those are very resourceful people, and every assembly that is blessed with this kind of people, it can grow if those people are available and if the others are willing to be mentored. Well, another category is the very important people that share our vision and ask us tough questions. I love when people are asking me tough questions. That means they are interested in what I'm doing, and they want to help me. You cannot be helped if you are not transparent, if you don't talk about the real problems and the real needs. And it is a blessing when we have this kind of important people in our life. The very trainable people, usually those are younger Christians that are catching our vision and want to learn and serve. Because Christianity is relational, we always transfer to each other our knowledge, our thoughts, things the Lord put on our hearts. And we have people that are really interested to know more, and we should help those. Very nice people. The fourth category here, I have people that enjoy our passion but do not contribute to it. They just say, oh, good job, Elise. You are doing a good job. It's not very helpful, but at least they don't hinder and they don't stop you doing your work. And the very draining people. And we have to deal with these kind of things, and they are the most tiring people. They sap our passion by causing conflicts and or looking for comfort and recognition. People that are just there to hinder God's work and to disturb the spiritual atmosphere of the assembly. We deal with all these kind of people. When I was younger, I didn't have enough wisdom to avoid the last category. I'm sorry. I spent a lot of times, many, many, many hours, days, months, years, trying to help those people. I love them, and I try to help them, to tell them that they are wrong. Who in the world accepts that he is wrong? Finally, I realized that actually you cannot save everybody. And I said, okay, we have 3 months to work on those issues. I still work with them. But I said, okay, we have 3 months. This issue. Okay, 3 months. We will meet every other week. We pray. We study the Word of God. we fast, we just stay before the Lord and see what he wants from us to do. If in 3 months we don't have a closure, we stop. Some of them, they are saying that I'm too tough because they like to be pampered. They like to be with people and to be being taken into consideration. You know? No. If you have work to do, you have to know how to balance your life and your ministry. I have some good results. Some of those draining people, very draining people, became nice people or trainable people, but it takes time. It will be interesting to decide for yourselves where you are. And if you are troublemakers, repent, my friends. Don't do this in God's house, in God's work. Yeah. Repent. Try to understand that God's work is a lot bigger than all of us, and he wants all of us to be part of it. And we can do this only with a humble spirit, with a desire to serve him in obedience, following Christ. Okay?
What do we have here?
Oh man, I missed an application.
Before we move on, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How do you tell the difference between the very draining troublemakers and the people who are asking tough questions?
Usually, when somebody is asking tough questions, does that with the desire to learn more about what you are doing and what should be done. But the troublemaker, is it doesn't matter what you say, he comes with a but. Yeah, you are saying this, but this and this and this and that. It's a very big difference because one is interested in helping, the other one is interested in attacking. Yeah. Okay, you have before loving others compassionately, please look at the personal application. You have it, right?
Let me see where it is. Okay, on page 5, in the middle.
And after that, on page 5, on the bottom, loving others compassionately. Please read the questions and answer them in a few seconds.
Is the question doesn't apply?
I don't know what was your intention coming here. But I would like each of you to see this time more than a classroom setting with an intellectual exercise or even some spiritual things in it. Try to see it as a time for personal reflection and learning about yourselves and how to grow more in knowing the Lord and in serving Him. Use this time breaking the barrier that is in your mind that you are here for a few lessons. It's not about lessons. It is about life. Yeah? Try to do that. I know that it's not easy. Some of you already are beyond all those things I'm talking right now. But some of you, maybe you need to overcome your biases and to learn, go a little further. Yeah? And that is the introduction for Paradigm and Holistic Spirituality. We'll be talking about three worldviews. We have here materialism. Everything is material. An impersonal product of time and chance. I was taught that when I was in grammar school, in high school, and in college in Romania. But everything, not what they said, nothing from what they said fell in the right place because they didn't have arguments. It was so funny when I was talking with my philosophy professors and I was giving them the Christian arguments, they were blocked. They didn't have any response, answer for that. But it's still in this world, many people think that materialism is the right worldview. And you meet those people and you deal with these people. Idealism, the ultimate reality is not material but spiritual, but not a personal being, but the all that is. You have these kind of things. It's immaterialistic we have naturalism, atheism, and humanism. And we have a lot of humanistic views in the assemblies, unfortunately. Idealism, you'll find it in pantheism, monism, transcendentalism, New Age movements, and theism, where ultimate reality is an infinite, intelligent, and personal God. I'm talking about the Christian theism, because we have also other theistic views that are not Christian. In order to change from a worldview to another, we have to change our paradigm. Paradigm is a way of seeing based on implicit or explicit rules that shape one's perspective. And always we are fighting with two opposing paradigms, the temporal and the eternal. We are always fighting with those. In our mind, we have a lot of struggle how to live and how to see different things. And unfortunately, many times we see them from the temporal perspective and not so much from the eternal perspective. Holistic spirituality talks about the centrality of Christ. and his relevance. To every compartment of our lives. You know that us as men, we have a compartmentalized mind. You know that. Women's brain works under vertical and under horizontal. Men's brain works only on the vertical, and for this reason, we think on different compartments. Unfortunately, we use this way of doing things in the church, in our relationship with the Lord. We start to think that it's important for us to have a spiritual life, but one of our compartments, not as a whole. We need to pray for wisdom to seek Christ in all things. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is called skill. It is the skill in the art of living life with each area under the dominion of Christ, the ability to use the best means to accomplish the best ends. That is wisdom. A wise person has all his areas of life put together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not only certain aspects. And the sphere of the Lord is reverence, respect, and humility, marked by obedience. These are basic things. I don't stop here. Men live a compartmentalized life. If we want an integrated life, we don't have to see our spiritual life like one of the many areas, like family, work, society, or serving others. An integrated life has a strong connection between faith and living, between belief and character, between profession and practice. They have to be aligned at the same level. You can't be, a Christian living like a pagan. You can't be. Here is they are so opposite that people don't realize this. In my sessions of counseling, some people are coming with that attitude. You know what? I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. I was baptized and I did this and this and that. Okay, so it's... why I can't stop drinking. What is the connection between those two? Where do you see the connectivity? That is a myth, that if you are born in a Christian family, if you are baptized and you call yourself a Christian, that you will be free from different sins. That is a myth. I don't know if you realize that. If you don't have true repentance in your life, if you don't start hating the sin, if you don't ask the Lord as the only source or salvation for you to clean your life and to change you, you will die as a pagan Christian. Faith and living should be aligned on the Christ level if we call ourselves Christians. believe in character. Oh, yeah. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the eternal life. But cheating, lying, hating, other things are part of your daily life. That is not integrated life. Unfortunately, when we decide to follow Christ and to have an integrated life, the tension doesn't stop there. And it will be always a fight between temporary and eternal. And we can lose our focus and slip back into a compartmentalized lifestyle based on a few things. First of all, materialism. Interested too much in this world, in making a lot of money here, because we think that if we have a title, if you have a certain account, if we have a certain car, if we have a certain house, if we have a certain wife, that is the level of success, you know, the symbol of success, and you are that person, a very important person. No, this is not reality. Because if you get everything you want to have, what do you think? You'll be satisfied? No, you want more and more and more. It's like a drug addict person. Materialism is injecting in your veins the drug that is asking for more and more every day. And that will take you back from integrated life to a compartmentalized life, thinking that you know better. We think that we have a better understanding and desire for what is best for us than that God does, trying to find happiness apart from God. Yeah, sometimes we think that we know better than God what we need. We tell him, he doesn't listen to us because it's not true. Then we take our destiny in our hands, we'll do it in our way. Yeah? I'm the captain of my boat, right? Frank Sinatra song. It's a lot of truth in that song. Because it talks what people think, and that will bring them happiness and satisfaction and significance. Spiritual anemia. We live in a society that doesn't encourage that involvement to become fervent, to become in fire for the Lord. No, the society is saying, hey, cool down, hey man, don't get so excited, you can have a heart attack or something like that. You know, it's, yeah. The society is not helping us to do that. And unfortunately, we are in our Christian communities many times two extremes. Some people that are very cool, very quiet, and others that are showing the spirituality, jumping and screaming and doing all these kind of things. No, both are wrong. If you in your heart, you have the desire to serve the Lord and you are in fire for him, show it. You know, I'm teaching my students when they preach. Some of them, they I know that you like sports, right? Yeah, sure. In Europe, soccer is a big sport, right? Okay. When do you see your team winning? What do you say? Ah, man, when you preach about Christ, when you preach about the salvation he gave us, the wonderful things he provided for us, you talk like being dead. Where is your excitement? Where is that fire that should come from you? And to make everybody being ready and willing to be part of that worship time. Don't get bored, because you'll get burned out. Trust me. And playing to the wrong audience. We are in a big trap here. We like to be honored by people, to be respected by people, to be recognized as being somebody by people around us. Many, not everybody, some are holier than others. Anyway, what happened? Because you like to be accepted by people, you buy things you don't need, you eat you don't like, you go to places you don't appreciate, just because the others will say, oh, Brother Elisei, look at him. He's doing this and this and this and that. Friends, that is a trap. It's not helping anybody. Be honest and transparent before the Lord and before people, and you will be respected because Christ lives in you. That is important. Yeah? Anyway, trying to be pleased by others, you become artificially and you show pretense. And Jesus called them Pharisees, right? Yeah. Those guys that follow the law so strict that you could say only, Hallelujah, Lord. But in their hearts, they were cold, dead, and full of hate and resentment. Okay. Personal application. And we stop here. You have four questions, right? In your notes.
Is on page 6, right in the center. No? Page 7, right? On the bottom, yeah. No, it's on page 6.
Okay.
Yeah, on page 6 you have those.
Hmm. Bun. Questions? Our time is up. We should stop at 12. Okay.